Hello and welcome to the Family Brand Podcast. My name is Chris. I'm a husband, a father, and an entrepreneur.
My name's Melissa, and I am a wife, mother, former nurse turned real estate investor.
And we believe the greatest gift you can give your child is a last name that stands for something.
Your last name is your family's brand.
If you are a parent who wants to raise your child to know who they are, love who they are, and believe in who they are, this show is for you.
We promise to bring you real and authentic conversations with parents and experts who are committed to making their family their life's most important work.
This show will help you take a stand for your family and to raise your children by design, not default.
Hello, everyone. It's been a really fun day. Trip's birthday today. We're getting to spend the day with him at home.
Our 9-year-old Trip turned 9.
Yeah. And he's just such a fun guy.
It's always so bittersweet, though, because you get all those memories that pop up on your phone about, you know, when they turn 3 and 4. And
I know. I just showed Melissa a picture. I was like, this is so sad and happy and awesome at the same time. It was when Trip was littler than he is now. And speaking of Trip and children, that's what we wanted to talk about today is the power of helping your children create an identity that's really profound for them. And I don't know, Melissa and I were driving somewhere recently. We were talking about some of the challenges facing the world today, especially some of the challenges facing children and kids, and just how overwhelming it must be to live in the world today. And I was sharing with Melissa, I grew up in a tiny town, like, I don't know, less than 40 people, I think, in my graduating class, tiny. And the only people I had to compare myself to were my friends. I mean, no social media, no internet. And just with only comparing myself to the kids in my tiny town, I felt inadequate a lot of the times. There was plenty of times where I felt like I wasn't enough, like I didn't matter, I didn't belong, I wasn't worthy. So I was like, imagine how much stronger that has to be for kids today when they literally have the ability to compare themselves with the world. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast. The rates of mental health, challenges with children are dramatically on the rise, attempted suicide, drug use, like there's a lot of really alarming things.
Yeah, it's a state of emergency, actually.
In several states.
American Academy of Pediatrics, yeah, a couple years ago. Kids' mental health is a state of emergency in the United States.
Yeah, and so I just had this thought that occurred to me and I shared it with Melissa and she's like, oh, we should talk about that on the podcast. And it was, I actually don't think we have a mental health crisis with our children. I don't think we have a drug abuse crisis. I think what we actually have is we have a not enoughness crisis. We have a not belonging enough crisis. We have a I don't matter enough crisis that then manifests itself into, you know, mental health challenges and addiction and drugs. And so I think then one of the most profound things we can do for our children from a young age and no matter what age they are is to just reinforce all the time how much they matter, how much they belong, how much they're already enough, how much they're worthy. Because I also have recognized, you know, having many family members who have struggled with addiction, I've never met someone who's struggling with addiction who has a strong sense of self-worth. I've never met someone struggling with addiction who has a strong feeling of I'm enough. I've never met someone struggling with addiction who really believes like they matter. I've also never met someone who isn't struggling with addiction that doesn't have the opposite of that. Everyone I've ever met or known that's struggling with addiction doesn't believe they're enough. Everyone I've ever met struggling with mental health or addiction doesn't believe they're worthy, doesn't believe they belong. And I just, yeah, we wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, I think what maybe had me realize like, okay, wow, this is a conversation that families want to be in is we had the opportunity in January. We spoke at an event together, Chris and I, and as part of the event we offered at the end of our time speaking, we offered people to come and join our Family Brand Academy. And the way it worked is we basically said, if you join, you know, before the conference is over, we are going to throw in a couple of bonuses. And one of those bonuses will be, we are going to have a conversation with your kids on via Zoom. And that conversation via Zoom is going to be all about like this very thing, but in a way that's delivered by someone that is not the parent. Like, you don't have to deliver the message. You get to have like this fun guy over here, Chris, deliver the message, but I thought you spoke about it so beautifully when you're speaking from stage, talking about like what we, you know, as far as family brand, what we want to instill in children to help and help parents instill in their children.
Yeah. And this is really profound. We call it the cool aunt, cool uncle effect, where all of us know this, that your children oftentimes will listen differently or hear things differently from someone else than you. And Melissa and I were surprised just how much. I think there was a lot of families who were going to buy the Family Brand Academy anyways. And I think there was a lot that decided just because we were going to offer that bonus for their children. And so many families came up to us and were like, man, my child's struggling with self-worth, or my child's struggling with not feeling like they're enough or not feeling like they belong. And look, like, we have to take a stand for our kids because the world isn't going to. The world is doing everything in its power to get your children to believe they're not enough. The world is doing everything in its power to get your children to believe they don't matter, to get your children to believe that they don't belong, that they're not worthy. And if you're not actively, daily combating that, your kids are losing the battle. My kids are losing the battle. And I think that, like, part of this is to teach our children from a young age that, like, self-worth and mattering and being enough and belonging, that's inherent. Like, it's in you. You can't do anything to lose it. Like, you can maybe no longer feel it, but to teach them from a young age, like, hey, you matter and you always have. You're enough and you always have been. You belong and you always have. You're worthy and you've always been worthy because you were born that way. Like, God created you to be that way. Because I think that kids and adults, when they start feeling like, oh, I'm not enough, I don't matter, I don't belong, I'm not worthy, they can't not go pursue things to try and fill that void. And oftentimes it's in the pursuit of things that aren't great for them or great for us. It's like there's a lot of adults later in life who, they pursue success at all costs. They pursue money at all costs. They pursue multiple relationships at all costs. They pursue, you know, they'll do anything like fit in with a crowd, even if it means going totally against what they believe, because they think that, like, that thing that's missing in them, they think it's out there. And it's not out there, and they'll never find it out there, which is like why it becomes this, like, I call it the endless pursuit of something that I can never find. It's inside. Like, it's an inside job. Same with our kids. If our kids don't feel like they're enough, don't feel like they matter, don't feel like they belong, don't feel like they're worthy, they'll seek it out elsewhere. And a lot of times they'll seek it out in approval from friends that aren't the greatest influences, from substances, from pornography, from, like, drugs. And then they don't find it. And because they don't find it, a lot of times it's like, well, I got to go even harder. I got to go even further into that. And then it just becomes this endless vicious cycle of, like, discouragement. Because, like, no matter what I do, or no matter what I try, or no matter how much I change myself, I still don't feel like I'm enough. And just reminding them, yeah, from a young age, like, you are enough. You do matter. You do belong. You are worthy. And I think one of our number one responsibilities as leaders, whether that's leaders in our homes, leaders in our marriage, leaders in our companies. I just got off a coaching call with a possibility company with our group coaching clients. And I said that I believe one of the greatest responsibilities of a leader is to be a chief reminding officer, a CRO. That you're constantly reminding your people, whether that's your people at your company, your people in your family, you're constantly reminding them who they are. You're constantly reminding them of who we are. You're constantly reminding them of their value. You're constantly reminding them of their worth. And look, we don't do it enough anywhere. We don't do it enough in our businesses. We don't do it enough in our families because we think, like, oh, we can touch on this once a week, once a month, once a quarter, once a year. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. We have the vantage point at the Possibility Co. of coaching, you know, hundreds of entrepreneurs and organizations a year. And those organizations are entrepreneurs who have the most intentional, sustainable, loving cultures and also, like, highest revenue growth. There's no coincidence that they are the companies and leaders who are the most obsessed with reminding themselves, their people, their teams, their customers all the time of their identity as a company. Here's who we are. Here's what we stand for. Here's what we're known for. And I think it's just the same thing applies in families. If we're not having a discussion regularly about this idea of you're enough, you matter, you belong, you're worthy, I think we're missing opportunities.
I love what you said about leadership, how it is. Sometimes I don't think necessarily of my role as a parent as that of a leader. But of course, you know, if you take a half a step back and think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, of course. I'm like, this is, like, the biggest leadership opportunity I have in front of me right now. And I do think that, yeah, we do get to share this with our kids, and we do get to lead them in a way that helps them find their identity. And one thing that I was thinking of when you were talking is that there is a way to help them find their identity. I feel like we just keep talking a little bit about, like, big picture, which is awesome, but I would love to talk about, like, okay, what are some things that you can actually do, like, with your kids today? And I think one thing that came to mind is helping them develop an identity that's not just, like, about the things that they're good at.
Or the things they do.
Or the things that they do, yes. So it would be easy as a parent to acknowledge your kids for, you're so good at baseball, you're so...
Organized,
or these things. But I think it's a gift and a skill to be able to see in yourself and in others things that are deeper, such as, I love how you are so kind and welcoming to new people. I love that you aren't afraid to talk to strangers, or these other things that are more about who they are as a person.
Yeah, I think we live in a society where we're very doing focused, right? What do I got to do? You know, just in my day-to-day, what do I got to do? What do I got to get done? In a company, it's like, what do we got to do to make more money? What do we got to do to grow? As a kid, it's like, what do I got to do to fit in? What do I got to do to, like, start in the sports team? What do I got to do to make friends? And we're so doing focused that I think we really lose sight of the being. So it's like doing and being. And they don't have to be, like, it doesn't have to be doing versus being. It can be an and. Like, sure, there's things to do, but it's also like, who am I being, right? Like, am I being loving? Am I being kind? Am I being encouraging? Am I being powerful? And I think it's easier to help our children start to shape their identity, to your point, Melissa, if the only thing they're ever getting acknowledged for is what they're doing, and unfortunately, a lot of times with kids, they actually get acknowledged even more for what they're not doing or what they're doing wrong. But if we could acknowledge way more, because what you do really isn't your identity, interestingly enough. This is part of, like, your things you do. Your identity is who you are. It's like who you're being. So if we could acknowledge more who they're being in the form of, like, bravery, courage, kindness, tenacity, relentlessness, like, faith, love, hope, like, generosity, you know, I think it's really kind of calls people forth into that. And then I think it's also really useful to have your children, and we've done this with our kids, and I've helped some, you know, other families, have children and adults, by the way, think about, who do I want to be? Because a lot of times if you set anyone down, whether it's a child or an adult, and you were to say, hey, let's create some really powerful, like I am statements, or some really powerful, like, declarations, or most people left to themselves, their mind will naturally gravitate towards the doing. I am, and they'll, you know, I'm a good athlete. And nothing wrong with that. But it's like encouraging them to actually create a vision for themselves of, like, who are you and who do you want to become? Like, I am bold. I am brave. I am a good friend. You know, and these are, you know, I'm beautiful just the way I am. I am momentum. I am a child of God. Like, I'm just reciting, even remembering some of the ones from our own kids, like their manifestos. That's what we call these, creating a manifesto. And I've really encouraged my kids, yeah, have some things in there around doing. Nothing wrong with that. And though, really have this be focused on who it is you want to become. Because, again, I've had to learn this the hard way in my own life. No amount of doing will ever help me have self-worth. No amount of doing will ever help me feel like I'm enough. No amount of doing will ever help me feel like I belong. No amount of doing will ever help me feel worthy. And look, I spent years trying to do. It's more in this idea of, again, first, and this is kind of a wild idea for a lot of people, is like, you can't do anything to improve your self-worth. You can't do anything to improve being enough. You can't do anything to, like, belong. You can't do anything to be worthy, because you already are. You were born that way. You can do some things, I think, to, like, embrace that and feel more of that, which I think is what, you know, Melissa's talking about. And so I just wouldn't underestimate. I know it does sound high level, but I would not underestimate telling your children, yourself, and your significant other regularly, hey, you know what? Just so you know, you're enough. Just so you know, you matter to me. Just so you know, like, you belong here in our family. Just so you know, like, you're worthy. I don't know if there's anything more profound I could say to another human being than those four things. Because I also believe those are what I call the core four biggest lies and judgments that we have about ourselves, is that I'm not enough. I don't matter. I'm not worthy. I don't belong. It's just not true.
I was doing some research recently about They're called ACEs, which is an acronym for Adverse Childhood Experiences. And I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but one of the questions, it basically, it takes these things that, it's a survey or quiz, I guess. And you, through this quiz, you identify things that maybe happened to you as you're growing up. And they were, I think this was first done in the state of California. From the answers, they can predict pretty accurately, like, what challenges this child or, you know, if it's an adult looking back, like, that they will have higher incidence of mental health challenges or I can't even remember all the things.
Addiction. Or...
addiction, yeah. But the, if they answer yes to these adverse childhood experiences, that there's a greater likelihood that they'll experience that later on. And one of the questions was that basically in your life as you were growing up, did you have someone in your life that you, like, felt important to, like, that you mattered? And I thought that was really interesting. Like, do my kids, do they feel that for me? As I was reading it, I'm like, oh, this is so, like, so good to think about. Do my kids feel that for me? Like, that I'm, that they're the most important person in the world to me and that they're special. And I think that's kind of what you're saying. It's like, we may be thinking it, but are we actually verbalizing it? And are we actually living in a way that has our kids really feel that and know that?
Yeah, it's powerful. I think it would be really powerful to reinforce, again, to everyone in your family on a regular basis, two different versions of each. One is like, hey, you're enough. And it's like, and you're enough to me. Hey, you belong. And you belong here. Hey, you're worthy. And you're worthy to me. And you matter. And you matter, you know, to me. And look, I think it's the thing. Like, can you imagine if just ponder this for a second. If every adult and every child on the planet once a day said to themselves, not from a place of like perfection, not from a place of even I believe it completely, but I'm trying to even. But if, can you imagine what would be possible in the world if every adult, every child, every human being said at least once a day, I'm enough, I matter, I'm worthy, and I belong. And then did everything we could to like really believe that, be that, and like do the things that that type of person would do. I mean, like, yeah, the world would be filled with a lot more love and possibility and freedom. Like, again, most of the suffering we see in the world today, most of the challenge facing families is a direct result of people not believing they're enough, not believing they matter, not believing that they belong, not believing they're worthy. Like, that's everything we see out there is symptoms of that. And yeah, to your point, Melissa, like, look, if raising children and being a family isn't leadership, then nothing is. This is the most important leadership, you know, we will ever participate in. And it's the most, you know, if there was one area you want to really show up as a bold, committed leader, and yeah, you're going to make mistakes and yeah, you're not going to get it right. But like, if you want to show up as a bold, committed leader in a place that has the greatest impact in the world, generationally, it's not in your company. It's not in your business you own. It's not in your church. It's not in your community. It's in your family. Like, it's in your home. And yeah, those things matter, but they pale in comparison to the impact of your leadership generationally to what you do in your family, what you do in your home.
Mic drop, Chris. That's beautiful. Really beautiful. Okay, the last thing I feel like I want to do here is because it's Tripp's birthday, like we said, and Tripp actually has a beautiful manifesto. Do you think it'd be cool if we...
Yeah, yeah, he would totally, he'd love to share it. Should we bring him down and have him share it?
Yeah, we'll bring him down and have him share it. And I don't share this to like show off, like, look at Tripp, look what he can do. I feel like because we've been working on his manifesto for, I don't know, probably a year or so, I feel like it is part of him. Like, he'll come up to us and he'll be like, Mom, I want to tell you my manifesto. He's just so cute. Anyway, I was going to say he's my current favorite child, which is true, but then I wasn't going to say that because I was like, can I say that out loud in public? I don't know.
Our children don't listen to the podcast.
He's just so fun right now. And the last thing before I bring him on is I'll say, I know that this, like, Tripp having this manifesto isn't going to be the thing that is like, oh, he's inoculated from any future challenges or any future, you know, questioning of who he is. But I 100% believe that the work that he's doing now to have this identity and to just have this power of who he is, it will make an impact later on in his life.
Yeah. It'll be something that when he finds himself in those moments where he's like starting to believe, because this is going to happen to all of us. it's not a question of like, well, will I ever not, you know, will I ever feel like I don't belong or I don't matter and I'm not enough and I'm not worth. Yeah, you'll feel that. The question is like, what do I have to draw upon to remind myself? Like, wait, that's not true. Let me go back to like, what is true? And what is true is like, what I say I am. That's what's true, you know? And so, yeah, I think it'd be awesome. Let's have Trip shares. Okay, we have the world famous 9-year-old Trip Smith here today. Mom, I probably shared with you, but would you be willing to recite your manifesto for the podcast?
Yes. Okay. We were just talking about kids and having a manifesto, and I was thinking, you know, it's Trip's birthday. We should get Trip down here in the basement to share his manifesto.
We were talking about what a powerful man you are.
Okay. I'm a child of God. I'm a kind brother. I'm that I love being with people. I'm that I speak kind words. I treat people the way I want to be treated. I'm an athlete. I belong. I make a difference. I make my own choices in life. I accept others. This is who I am, and my parents named me Trip.
That's amazing.
That is who you are. Trip, do you feel like that is who you are?
Yes.
Do you feel like your manifesto makes a difference for you?
Yes.
Hey, I want you to know, dude, you are that. You are all those things, and you matter. You're enough. You're worthy. You belong. And we're excited to go to the trampoline park. Love you.
Can you tell everyone, you can end our podcast for this week, say, thanks for listening to the Family Brand Podcast. Have a beautiful week.
Thanks for listening to the Family Brand Podcast. Listen next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Family Brand Podcast. To say thank you, we have something really awesome we'd love to share with you.
You know, we often hear from families who will tell us that they just feel so overwhelmed because of the demands that are placed on them. They feel like they're constantly being pulled in so many different directions and spread thin, and they're spending time as a family, but they don't feel like it's quality time. They're not really connected and they want to be more intentional. And we can certainly relate because we felt like that at one point in our family. And so we created a guide that allowed us to really be more confident around how we spend time as a family and what we say yes to and what we say no to. And it's just brought so much more peace into our home. It's made our lives so much more simple. And we want to share it with you. So if you go to familybrand.com/free, you can download the How to Take Back Your Family's Time guide. And I can promise you, it'll give you more confidence and more peace in your life and in your family.
One last thing. We feel so inspired when we hear from families that we are making a difference for them. We would love it if you would leave us a 5-star rating and a review on the podcast so we can reach even more amazing families. We truly believe that the way we change the world is one family at a time.